This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Though evil has exploded in our midst, affecting all in our beloved land, the celebration of your birth, as always, overwhelms earth's darkest hours and bids us look beyond these grievous times. You knew, as you willingly approached the agony of death upon the cross, that resurrection morning soon would dawn for you and those you came to earth to save. The turmoil of these past few months has brought into our hearts the revelation that you reign supreme, for only you can claim the victory of everlasting life. Amen. Merry Christmas. The words that I shared with you in that prayer certainly to me seem appropriate for what we have dealt with in our world in these past months. However, they were not written with that in mind. There is a past saint, those of you who go back in our history of this church. Her name is Jean 70, one of the saints of St. Joseph, who every year for Christmas would pen a new poem. The one that I just shared with you as our prayer was written by Jean in the wake of 9/11, Christmas 2001. What a gift that she gave to us, and how timely it is these 14 years later. There is so much historically that does not change. The Christmas proclamation that I chanted as we began tonight, chanted across churches around the world on this Christmas night, proclaims the different historical references within which God chose to send to us God's Son in the person of Jesus Christ. There was a gift that we were given this past year, in that 30 of us were able to go to the Holy Land, and perhaps in your own spiritual journey, you've been able to experience this incredible experience where we were able to go to the actual spot at the Church of the Nativity where God became man. And on that spot, there is a place for you to place your hand in the middle of a 14-pointed star. The 14 points of the star is symbolic of those 14 lists of generations that are listed in the gospel genealogy that talk about those generations before Jesus Christ. Now, I wasn't sure how I wanted to start out this Christmas sermon, but I was given an affirmation during our 4 o'clock Christmas pageant tonight. And if you've ever been to that service, it's the most wonderful chaos you could ever experience, with over 100 children up in this sanctuary, all dressed in costume, making a Christmas tableau of what transpired that holy night. And there's a moment in that Christmas tableau when out of nowhere appears this beautiful angel who sings a cappella, "Fear Not, Shepherds." And this year, Carrie-Anne Tamino nailed it. You could have heard a pin drop in the church, except for the fact that Father Marty forgot to turn off his cell phone. And in the midst of Carrie-Anne's beautiful chanting, off goes my cell phone. I had to figure out, everybody I know knows that I'm in the middle of a service. Why would they be calling me? And I looked down at the cell phone, and this is true. The caller ID said, "Bethlehem." And I thought, what kind of a joke is this? And so I looked. It was a message from our tour guide, who was with us for those days in Israel, Ramon MacLouf. Now, I had planned on showing some of the slides from our trip and mentioning Ramon by name, and I guess this was my confirmation that I was on the right track. Ramon was contacting us to say, make sure, Father Marty, you and your family and your Church of St. Joseph's know that I wish them a blessed Christmas. We went to that spot. We went to a place where Ramon also showed us what the actual situation of Jesus' birth would have been like. It's based on a word in Luke's gospel that is transliterated into English, Cataluma. In Luke's gospel, it is translated the inn. However, if we really want to get in touch with what was more likely going on in that time, the more correct translation of Cataluma is living room. We went to see another viewpoint of the cave that would have been part of that house. We went to the altar, where you can see that it's right near that birthplace. Because in a Palestinian house in that time frame, it would have looked more like this. So we go to the next slide. It's a rather open form design with a guest room on the right, a large family room in the center, and then a place for the animals in the back with the manger separating those last two areas. It was not, as Ramon would tell us, that there wasn't any room in the inn. It's that there were other family members visiting for the census, and so the guest room was taken. And so Jesus was born, as Ramon would say, in the living room. We also went to see in Megiddo, one of the oldest towns in history, where there is left the remains of what is a stone manger. More likely what the birthplace of our Lord would have looked like. And then they have done a reconstruction of that design I showed you before of what that house perhaps would have looked like. Now, let's get in touch with the living room. Now, I don't mean to tell you tonight, go home tonight and throw out all your manger scenes because they're historically inaccurate. But I would offer this in terms of perhaps an insight into the incredible nature of Jesus' coming. Think of when a child enters into a room. There is nothing that can bring a group of people together than the entrance of a baby. I can remember 21 years ago, I was the proud papa of Demery Francis Zladek. And this date in history, 21 years ago, I was able to take her to St. Louis to meet my family for the first time, holding my daughter in the living room. Everything stopped with the presence of a child. This past week, we are gifted in this church with the Malcolms family, and Mother Tally's been in the hospital at Bethesda with some unexplained virus. So her husband, Charleston, brought their 10-month-old Dublin, carrying him into the parish hall this week. And there were ladies in the parish hall engaged in all sorts of different activities. And as soon as Charleston, the proud papa, walked in with Dublin, guess what happens? Everything stops. And if you've seen Dublin, you would understand why. Then Charleston brings Dublin into the parish office. And with the bevy of activity getting ready with printing bulletins and all the things that go into preparing for this night, it didn't matter. There's a baby. Everything stops. What a gift this is that Jesus came to come to us in such a way. You know, we can look at what's going on in our world right now. There are box office records being broken. The story of a hero, of a call to adventure that's gone on. Well, I'm not talking Star Wars. I'm talking Star Peace. There is a great writer and intellectual who left us too soon by the name of Joseph Campbell. And Joseph Campbell has captured for us the different phases of what we would know as a hero's journey. The way in which we as human beings are drawn in and can relate to a particular story. And it was the author of Star Wars who took that advice from Joseph Campbell and translated it into the most successful motion picture series in history, The Hero's Journey. But look how it begins. With a departure, a call to adventure, a refusal of the call at first, a supernatural intervention, a crossing of the first threshold, and then a metaphorical belly of the whale type of experience. It's no wonder Star Wars appeals to us, because these are things that are somehow inbred within us that we are appealed to. But look at the characters of the stories that we have been dealing with this Advent. Whether it's Elizabeth and Zechariah, whether it's Mary and Joseph, whether it's the call of the shepherds or the magi, whether it's Jesus, God's self. There is a call, certainly, to adventure that has been given. In Mary's part, in the shepherd's part, in Joseph's part, in Elizabeth and Zechariah, there certainly is a refusal to the call that brings us to stage three, where there is a supernatural aid. The angel comes to everyone saying, "Fear not." And because of that, they're able to cross over the threshold. And there is that belly of the whale experience, whether it's with Zechariah, who is not able to speak for a period of time, whether it's Mary and Joseph and their flight into Egypt. But in all of them, there is the journey of a hero. The gift that God gives to us by choosing to come to us in the middle of our living room is the fact that God comes for all of us. He comes as a child, a defenseless child that changes the scorecard. That is the most agreeable way in which we would accept and receive him. But comes into our living room, a place we all know. Perhaps that's where we look to start to find him once again. Star Wars says, "May the Force be with you." Maybe in this regard, may the Lord be with us. I would like to end with a video that makes this point.
You have that power too.
Chewie, we're home.